I want to talk about an affection toward Jesus, an affection toward Jesus, and we're going to be looking at Mark 8:33 and Colossians 1:3-2 as our text scripture. Now, Mark chapter number 8, verse number 33 says, "But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." And the supporting scripture is going to be Colossians chapter number 3, 1 and 2. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Verse 2, it says, "Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth." Now, the definition that we have highlighted there in your lesson of affection is intensively to interest oneself in. Intensively to interest oneself in, especially with concern or obedience. And when it says exercise the mind, in other words, when you think of exercise, it's an activity requiring physical effort carried out to sustain or improve your well-being. So exercise the mind. So when the Lord is saying to set your affections on things above, he's saying intensively to interest yourself in. Intensively interest yourself in things that are above, not the things that are on this earth. And why would Jesus say such a thing like that? He tells us that in Mark 8:33. He says that Satan savoreth, and basically when it's saying that word savoreth, it's saying Satan's affectionate. His affection is towards the things that are of men. Satan is not affectionate towards the things that are of Jesus. He's trying to get you to stay away from Jesus as much as he can. But he's affectionate towards the things that are concerning man. And why is he like that? Because he wants to destroy man. Satan desires to destroy humanity. You think about that scripture there in the book of Job. Someone go over there really quick. Job chapter number 1. 1 and verse number 7, and then compare that with Peter. Job chapter number 1 and 7, and then 1 Peter, you're going to look at chapter number 5 and verse number 8. So what did I say? Job 1 and 7, right? What does Job 1 and 7 say?
1 and 7 reads, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou?"
Yes.
"And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth."
That's right.
"And from walking up and down."
That, so the devil is telling you where he's at. He is in the earth. He's in the earth doing what? Walking up and down in the earth. Now whether you pay attention to him or not, that don't mean that doesn't change him. Jesus is trying to help you and I to understand what is in the earth. What is in the earth? And who is out there in this earth? And what is he doing? He's not somewhere asleep. He's not somewhere on vacation. He is going up and down in the earth. That's what the scripture says. Now, 1 Peter, add a little bit more into that. 1 Peter chapter number 5, and what did I say? Verse number 8. What does 5 and 8 say? Be sober, meaning be serious. Be serious and be vigilant. Vigilant means watchful, aware. Be watchful, be aware. Why? Because you're what? Your adversary. Now there you go right there. An adversary is one that is against you. The one that's trying to fight you. The one that does not have your best interest at heart. So you can understand now why Jesus told that Satan. He didn't say it. He let you know that even though Satan was in Peter, Jesus did not call Peter by his name. He called out the spirit that was in Peter. He said, Satan, get thee what? Behind me. He said it to Peter. He said, rebuke Peter, saying, get thee behind me what? Satan. So that lets you know how Satan operates. Our Bible lesson on spiritual dependency, that lets us know that Satan is a disembodied spirit. Satan is a spirit that wants to get into people to operate. And when he gets into people to operate, he doesn't help you. He does not help you interest yourself towards Jesus. He only helps you interest yourself towards things that are of the flesh, that are of mankind. That's right. And the scripture says that that spirit is not a help to you. According to Peter, that spirit, when Satan comes into you and starts to operate like that, when he doesn't direct your interest towards Jesus, but directs your interest towards flesh, that spirit is not intended to help you, but it is intended to harm you or to be an opposition to you. That's why Jesus said that be sober, or be serious, be vigilant, be watchful, be aware, because your adversary, the enemy, who is the enemy? The devil. The devil, Satan himself, is your enemy. And what is he doing? That's right. That's right. So that let me know. In Job, he says he's walking up and down in the earth. But in Peter says he's walking up and down in the earth seeking whom he may devour. That's true. Now, that's a beautiful thing to know, to know you got two different spirits that are seeking you. Jesus says, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. So Jesus is coming to save us. But that other spirit, it's coming to do what? To devour us. That's the truth, isn't it? So you and I have a choice. We can either let Jesus do what? Save us. Or we can let that devil do what? Devour us. That's the truth, saints. We realize that the devil is out there. He's out there according to 2 Corinthians. Someone go over to 2 Corinthians and see what the scripture says about the devil being out there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, I believe it is. 3 or chapter number 4. 4 and verse number 3.
2 Corinthians 4 and 3.
Yes. 2 Corinthians.
4
yes.
And 3 reads, but if our gospel be hid.
So we see what? How does that devil attack us? He's trying to hide the message that can save us. He's trying to block that message from getting in our minds. That message that can deliver us from sin. Sin ruins the creature. It's been ruining the creature from the beginning of time. Sin has been ruining us. Sin has been taking man on a downward spiral. You say, well, the scutter, man been here on the earth for a long time. But you realize man hasn't been getting better. Not in his behaviors. Not in his attitude. Not in his treatment one to another. He's getting worse. He's not, man is not a loving creature. You can't look for man to be a loving creature. Man is all in it for themselves. According to the scripture, they're affectionate. In other words, they're what interests themselves. Come on, that's the truth, saints. That's all the man is concerned about, is how he can please and satisfy himself. He realizes the unfortunate thing. You say, well, why does the man get so frustrated and irritated? Why does a man get so frustrated and irritated when he is sitting up trying to get his soul saved? And that man is there. You think about the concept of that man. He's out there just seeking, grabbing. And the writer done told you there is no peace out there for that man. Why is there no peace? Because he's in that wicked state. There's no peace, saith my God, to who? The wicked. That's right. The wicked are like the troubled sea, whose waters cannot rest. The waters cast up nothing but mine dirt. The writer said, there is no peace, says my God, to the wicked. And the scripture already told you that if the gospel, the message that can deliver you from that wicked state, the gospel is the only message that can deliver mankind from that wicked state. Jesus is the only one that says, I am come to save you from your sin. She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall do what? Save his people from their sin. The gospel message is the only message that is in the earth that can deliver you and I from sin. And the writer done told you that one message that can deliver you and I from sin says, if that message is hid unto them that are lost. And why are they lost? Because the God of this world has done what? Blinded the minds of them that do what? Believe not. See, that devil just don't want you to believe in Jesus. If he everything he can do to keep you from believing, having faith, trusting in what Jesus says, anything he can do to get you to do that, he's happy. That's what makes him an adversary. Because Jesus knows in order for you to live, you got to learn how to trust in Jesus. In order for you to escape the wrath of God, you got to learn how to lean and depend on Jesus. And the devil knows that. Why does he know that? Because he knows Jesus. He knew Jesus before you knew Jesus. And he knew Jesus does not play when it comes down to his word. What the Lord says in his word, he means it. Either you do it or you'll be destroyed. Either you obey it or you will be devoured by the sword. Why? Because the mouth of the Lord has spoken this thing, right? And Satan knows that. So therefore, he tries to blind your mind. Blind your mind to the truth. So that you won't ever learn how to trust and believe in Jesus. So you start paying attention to all of this other stuff that's in the earth. This other stuff that's only focused on the flesh. It's not focused on your soul. It's only focused on the flesh. And the flesh cannot be satisfied. Flesh can't be fulfilled. The flesh is like an empty black hole. It's like a void. It's always reaching and reaching and digging and digging and never finds satisfaction. That's why the Lord done told you all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That's why the Lord told you to set your affections on things above. Get out of the earth. Let the Lord realize I am interesting myself on something outside of the earth, something more valuable, something that the earth can't provide for me. What can't the earth give you? The earth can't give you no life. Only thing that is in the earth is death. All that is out there is death. Nothing is out there that can help you live. Nothing is out there that's going to prevent you from escaping hell's fire. Only Jesus can do that for you. That's the truth. Only Jesus can help you escape the torment that is coming. Come on, that's the truth, saints. That's why the Lord told you, if you look over there, even in Romans chapter number 5, y'all didn't finish reading 2 Corinthians first yet, but if the gospel be hid, it's hid unto them that are lost, and whom the God of this world has done what? Blinded the minds of them that believe not. And why does he want those minds blinded? Lest the light. See, he knows you believing in Jesus is the key to the light being shined in your heart. He said, if I can just get you to stop believing in Jesus, he knows light won't get inside of you. Light is knowledge. Light is understanding. Light is life. He says, if I can just keep the light from getting inside of you. That's why I say, when you were out there in the world, what did the devil put in front of you? A whole bunch of flesh. Whole bunch of flesh. Oh, he knew how to attract you. He knew how to get your attention. And he said, as long as I keep that stuff in front of you, he realized that clock keep right on ticking and you just waste time. Time just keep right on moving while you paying attention to this stuff that is in the earth.
But Jesus done told you the key how to escape Satan's attack. He says, set your affection. Interest yourself on things above, not on things that are in the earth. See how the world's mind has shifted? As we say, week after week, what is going on in the earth? Politics. Huh? Disease. Famine, storms, all of these things are going on in the earth, and it's trying to take your mind off of Jesus. It's trying to cloud your mind off of Jesus. And you should be saying something to yourself. What in the world? Every time I turn around, it seems like it's something new. Seems like it's something different. But it's not anything different. There's nothing new up under the sun. That same devil was working in Adam's day. And he's doing the same thing today. He's trying to appeal to your flesh. And he knows that the flesh can't be satisfied, right? That's right. The flesh cannot be satisfied. Satan knows that. And you'll spend a whole lifetime trying to figure that out. And the devil already knows it. Huh? And he's only fooling you to make you think you can be happy by getting all of this stuff. Huh? All of this stuff. It just occupies your mind. All it does is teach you how to waste something very precious called time. And before you know it, a year done passed by. 5 years done passed by. 10 years done passed by. And what have you accomplished? Absolutely nothing. Huh? You were empty at the beginning and you're still empty. And you just say, why am I empty? Because you're looking for the flesh to do something that it cannot do. The flesh cannot satisfy you, right? That's the truth, saints. And nobody but the devil is trying to keep the light, the knowledge of this from entering into your mind. Huh? That's the truth. He said, why does he do this? He said, lest that light. You say, why does the devil attack these minds so hard? Because he don't want that light. Not just any light, the greater light. The light that causes, that shines out of darkness. Huh? That's the light we need. That light that shines out of darkness. That light that's not overcome by the darkness, but shines out of it. Huh? Yes, you see a whole lot of people being overcome by the darkness. And you be wondering, what kind of light you got? Huh? What kind of light you got when the darkness is beating you up? Huh? When you get the Holy Ghost, that light overcomes the darkness. Jesus said, let there be light, and that light overcame the darkness. Scripture says that he had to create a greater light to govern the day and a lesser light to govern the night. Why? Because it just illuminated the whole environment, right? That's the truth. That's why they said, lest that light of the glorious gospel of Christ should do what shine unto them. Huh? Keep going. We don't preach ourselves. We preach Jesus. This is what we were talking about last week. Determining in our mind to know nothing save Jesus. That's our message. That is the message that we preach and that we teach. Jesus today, Jesus yesterday, Jesus tomorrow. We say, what are you going to do when you go to church? Learn a little bit more about Jesus. What are y'all going to do when you get down on your knees? Call on Jesus a little bit more. Huh? What y'all going to sing about? Sing a little bit more about Jesus. Got it fixed in my mind that that's the only name I need. Why? Because the Lord said there is no salvation. There's no deliverance. There's no soundness of mind. There's no healing. There's no preservation in any other. There's no other name under heaven. Huh? Wherever you go, if you go to Africa, if you go to Antarctica, if you go to Israel, if you go to Jerusalem, I don't care where you go at, from the north, south, east, or west, you are still under the heavens. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, right? That's the truth. Only name that can deliver you is the name of Jesus. That devil be trying hard to get that name out of you. He don't want you to call on that name. He don't want that name to get saturated in your mind. Huh? People don't even realize that. Even when people are in the holiness faith, even when people saying that they believe the teachings of the apostles. And if you look at the teachings of the apostles, they were Jesus preachers. Huh? They didn't prophesy and preach and do all of this stuff. God, God, God. They preached Jesus. So much so that one writer said, whatever you do, in word or in deed, do it all in the name, right? That's what you have to understand. The devil is never going to let this place overrun with people. But he will fight the people every time they even get a thought of trying to come through these doors. You should say, why is it so hard for them to try to come through these doors? Because the devil knows once they get in here, they will hear the name that can save them from their sin. And anything he can do to keep you from saying the name. I've seen them work when people are even on their knees while the saints are crying out, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. They still won't let the name come out. That lets me know he will fight you tooth and nail just to keep the name from getting inside of you. Why? Because he knows that that name get in you. You'll get some light inside of you. You'll get some knowledge in you. You will get life, right? You'll get life. Scripture said that he's an adversary. He's an enemy, isn't he? He doesn't want the name to get inside of you. Anything he can do to keep that name from getting in you, he does it. That means he's got to afflict your body. As long as he can keep that pain, keeping that name out of your mouth. That's why I can tell you flat footed, trust him, saints. Have faith in Jesus. I don't care what goes on in your life. Don't be ashamed of the name. Keep lifting the name up. No matter what, let the Lord know. Lord, I put all of my trust in you, Jesus. I can't trust in the flesh.
Thank you, Jesus.
Put all of my trust in Jesus. Thank the Lord you got a mind not to be ashamed of the name of Jesus. To thank the Lord for the mind. When people try to give you information and say God is good, you can say Jesus is good. And not be ashamed to say it. Say Jesus is good to me. Huh? Somebody say God woke me up this morning. You can say Jesus woke me up this morning. Nobody but Jesus gave me the activities of my limbs. Huh? I thank you Jesus just for the mind that I have to want to run for my life. I thank you Jesus just for the understanding. I don't know everything in this book. I would be lying to you if I said I knew and understood everything in this book. But what I do know, I know the name will help you. Huh? I know the name got your best interest at heart. I know the name will never fail you. I know the name will be with you when nobody else is there. I know you can call on the name of Jesus and he will cause that devil to stop in his tracks. I know the name will help you elevate your mind. I know the name will help you elevate your thinking. When your mind get all confused, when you don't have understanding, that name, it soothes all of my doubts. It calms all of my fears. Why? Because I trust in his name, right? That's the truth. That's the truth, saints. That's the truth. And that devil is just trying to keep the light. That was the scripture to say. Lest that light of the knowledge, the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should do what? Shine unto them. But we preach Jesus. Huh? We preach Jesus. I don't have time to tell you what's going on in my life. Because what's going on in my life is not going to help you. Huh? Say, Elder Scott, tell me about your problems. The more I tell you about my problems, the more I take away from Jesus. And I don't have time You don't have time for anyone to take something away from Jesus. Not during the day and time that we're living in. You cannot afford to take anything away from Jesus. You need the Lord to help you in every area of your life, right? That's the truth. I know sometimes we get caught up in our problems. We get caught up in ourselves. But you got to snatch yourself out of it. You got to pick yourself up and realize, get out of this stuff. Get out of this pit. And put your mind above. Put your mind above where? On Jesus. Huh? I'm telling you, flat-footed, the devil is never going to tell you to put your mind above. Why? Because he's not up there. Huh? The Lord done told you he is in the earth. He's in the earth walking around, seeking whom he may devour. See, I'm trying to tell you how to beat Satan at his game. How to beat your adversary. How can I beat that devil? Put your mind up. Set your affections on things above. Put your mind up. Elevate your thinking. Elevate your attitude. Elevate your mental disposition. Huh? Set your affections on things above and not on things on this earth, right?
That's it. Thank
you, Jesus. That's the truth. You want to beat them, that's what you got to do. I'm sorry, that's what you got to do. You got to elevate your thinking. Huh? And I'm not telling you to worry about what's up in the stars. No, 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 no. You got to go a little bit higher than that. You got to go above that second heaven. That second heaven is where the stars and stuff dwell at. You need to go above that. Set your affections on what? Things above. And not on things on this earth. Why do I need it? Because Christ. Huh? Jesus is coming. Huh? If you don't believe that, look at the signs of the time. So much stuff is in the earth right now, we can't even keep up with it. Huh? We can't even keep up what's going on in the earth right now. And not let me know that ain't nobody but the devil trying to keep your mind occupied. Huh? Lest you get somewhere and sit still and focus on reality. And what will the reality teach you? Huh? Reality will teach you that you are not satisfied. Huh? You have nothing to look forward to. Reality will teach you you have no hope. Why don't you have no hope? Because you have no Jesus. If you ain't got no Jesus, you have no hope. And you are of all men most miserable, right?
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
That's the truth.
Thank you, Jesus.
You're miserable.
Yes.
You're miserable, you're blind, and you're poor.
Jesus.
And you're naked.
Yes.
Huh? That's the scripture said that. Elder Scudder didn't say that. The Lord said you're miserable, you're blind, you're poor, and you're naked. And the only way you're going to fix it, you got to repent. Repent means you got to take your eyes off of yourself and put your eyes on Jesus, right? That's the truth. Put your eyes off of yourself and put your eyes on Jesus. Read a little bit more of that in Corinthians.
It says, five, but we preach not ourselves,
yes.
Christ the Lord.
Yes.
Ourselves, your servant.
That's truth. That's truth.
God who commanded the light.
What did the Lord do? You ought to thank the Lord for that.
Yes.
That's where you were at. You were in gross darkness.
Yes.
But how did you get out of gross darkness?
Yes.
Jesus spoke to me.
Yes.
And what did he say? Let there be light.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Come on, saints. Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
Yes.
He spoke to your void,
yes,
shapeless life.
Yes.
Huh? You were void. Yes, you were. You had no profit. Wasn't nothing working right in your life. You say, I had a job, but you still had nothing. I have a house. You still have nothing. I have a car. You still have nothing. If you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. You will not never be anything without the Lord Jesus. Elder Scudder, you shouldn't say that. You will never be anything without the Lord Jesus. You will never accomplish anything with if you do not have Jesus. Why? Because you came in this world naked and you're going to leave naked. You will take nothing of your labor with you, right?
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
So the Lord can tell you, what profit is it for you to gain this world and then lose your own soul? Huh? You can get the car you want. You can live in the place that you want. You can get the woman or women that you want. Huh? Or the man or the men that you want. Whatever your sexual preference is. Huh? That's the kind of world we're living in. You don't even know what folk desire. But whatever your sexual preference is, you will never get ahead in life if you do not have Jesus. Gay, straight, don't know what you want to be. Huh? You will never get ahead in life if you do not have Jesus. And when you get Jesus, you will act right. Why? Because Jesus is a righteous God. Huh? He's not going to have you acting left. He will have you acting right, right? He's straight. He know what he doing. Huh? He know what he doing. He know where he going. It's up to you to get Jesus so you can know who you are and where you need to go, right? That's the truth. That's the truth. You don't know. You won't even know. You'll be just empty in this world, not having a clue. You see people all day long, clueless. Huh? They just clueless. Clueless in life. Oh, I know mine. Ain't got no mind to serve the Lord. Ain't got no mind to run for the light. You got mind to sell turtles on the side of the road. Huh? Ain't got no mind to live right. Ain't got no mind to do for Jesus. You just bothering folk. Bothering stuff. Ain't got no business bothering with it. Leave the turtles where they are. Leave the nature where it is. It tends to itself. But you're so busy trying to make a quick dollar. I can steal this turtle, take this turtle, and I can make $5 or $20 with it. But what will you gain when you get all of that money from them turtles and lose your own soul, right? I'm just trying to help you, saints. What will you gain when you make that multi-million-dollar record? Huh? Sing that song, and all of the people love the beat. They love the music. But what will you gain when you make all of that money from that song? What will you accomplish when you buy that expensive property overlooking all of the land and the sea? What will you say about yourself at the end of the day? Huh? What will be said about you when you take your last breath? Huh? When you take your last breath in that bed after you bought all of this stuff, what will be said about you after you take your last breath and you realize you can't take none of the stuff with you? You're going out the world the way you came in, right? All of your goods. Every last one of your goods are going to be left to somebody else, right? The house that you live in, someone else is going to buy it. Huh? The bed that you live in, someone else is going to sleep in it. The clothes that you wear, somebody else is going to wear them. Huh? Huh? But where will your soul be at? Come on, saints. I'm just trying to help you to have reasons as to why you need to set your affections on things above and not on things on this earth. You're trying to win this battle called life? Huh? That's the truth. You're trying to win this thing called life. You don't want to lose at it.
No.
You don't want to lose. I see a whole lot of losers. A whole lot of people lose at it. This little fella was telling my daughter that on the day in my office. I was sharing that with her. Man, same age as me. Born in 1976. Same year I was born. All of the stuff that he accomplished. All of it. All of the things that he accomplished in his life. And look at where he is right now. Huh? All that stuff, it did not take care of his soul. Huh? Did not take care of his soul. People don't want to hear that. People don't want to think about that. Why? Because they had hope in him. Huh? But hope, it don't last long. Huh? That's why the writer done told you, if you got hope in this life only, you're all men most miserable. You go to the latter years of his life, you see misery. You see pain. Huh? All in his face. Misery and pain. Why? Because all of his wealth, all of his popularity could not stop the hand of the Almighty God. Huh? Come on. wealth, all of his popularity, all of the people that he knew, it could not stop the hand of the Almighty God. Jesus said, when I call, you are going to answer. Huh? And you got to give an account for the things you've done in this body, right? And you ask yourself, what did he do? What did he do in this body, right? Huh? They want to mock you for living for Jesus? Huh? They want to talk about that you don't know what you're doing because you're trying to learn a little bit more about Jesus? But I'm trying to tell you, this message is trying to help you in your future. Huh? It's a blessing in the present, but it's trying to help you in the future, right? Yeah, you got joy in the present. Yes, you got peace in the present. But you got to realize it. I'm not just in it for the present. I'm in it for the future, right? I want to spend eternity with Jesus, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
I believe that, saints.
Help, Lord.
I want to spend eternity with Jesus.
Jesus.
Say, why are you fighting the way you fight? Because I want to spend eternity with Jesus.
That's it.
I want to go back with him when he comes.
Right. Jesus.
When the Lord called my name,
mm-hmm.
I want to spend eternity with the righteous God.
Right.
The one that overcame death.
Yes.
Huh? Mm-hmm. I don't care who you are. You go find Muhammad. You go find Khrushchev, whoever all these recipe people's names are. It don't matter. George Washington, I don't care who these people are. They done wrote all these books about these people. But I guarantee you go find their grave, their bones is still in it. But you go find the grave of Jesus. Huh? You won't find a bone. You won't find any grave clothes. Why? Because the Lord got up out that grave. Huh? And Jesus said, because I live, you can live off. Now, who don't want to follow behind somebody like that?
Right.
Somebody got power over death.
Jesus.
All these folk around me keep on dying.
Yep.
Somebody got power over death.
Got it.
I want to follow behind Jesus.
Yes.
Death ain't nothing happy. Why? Because somebody you love been snatched away from you.
Right.
But you thank the Lord for the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost helps open up your understanding to realize that if you die with Jesus, you just asleep. Huh? If you die with Jesus, you just asleep. Why? Because the Lord going to bring you back with him. That's what the scripture say. He going to bring you back with him for you to get a glorified body. That glorified body is incorruptible. It's immortal. It has no more death hovering over it. It has no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears in it, right? That's the kind of body you want. That's what I'm looking forward to. Huh? I want to be a part of the first resurrection. Scripture said, on such the second death, it ain't got no power. Isn't that something? That's what the folk don't understand. They think that devil that they following behind has all this power. But Jesus is the one that got all power. Jesus lets you know all power is given unto him in both heaven and in earth. He's got the keys to both hell and death. He done told you hell and death are going to be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whose ever name is not found written in the Lamb's book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. And there they will be with the beast, the false prophet, Satan, all of those names that are in the books. They will be there day and night forever and ever, right? Now you got to make up your mind where you want to be at, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
I want to be with Jesus.
I want to be with him. Thank you, Jesus.
Fighting for it.
Yes, Lord.
Y'all believe that? We fighting for it. Fighting for what? Fighting to be with Jesus. Fighting over this thing called flesh. Huh? Some people talk about an enemy. The enemy is your flesh. That's why Jesus done told you through the Apostle Paul, I know that dwelleth in me is a no good thing. That flesh be warring against. to bring my mind into captivity to the law of sin and death. But I thank God through Jesus. He gives me the victory, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
Not sometimes, all the time. Jesus gives you the victory over the devil trying to confuse your mind and bring your mind into what? Captivity. Captivity is a bondage. That means like you can't, you get out. You be trying to get out, but you can't get out. Why? Because you shackled down. But it's as though the Lord say, loose them. It's as though the Lord say, I got the key to unlock those chains.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh? It's as though the Lord say, you can be free.
Yeah.
Free to do what? Not free to sin.
Right.
Free to live for me, right?
Right?
You now have to be a servant of the gospel.
Jesus.
What kind of a servant? You got to be, have it in your mind. I might not be a preacher,
Jesus,
but I got a message for you.
Yeah.
What is the message? Jesus saves.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Jesus saves.
Jesus saves.
Jesus saves. To the uttermost.
Yeah.
I don't care how far down in sin you are, Jesus will save you, right?
Yes, yes.
You might be way out there, but Jesus can save you. Huh? I don't know how he can do it, but all I know, he can do it. He said, how? You don't know how the Lord, I don't know how the Lord going to bring you out. But all I know is he can do it. Huh? And that's good enough for me. I don't know the specifics. I don't know how Jesus is going to open up a door for you. I don't know how the Lord is going to bless your life. But what I can stand flat-footed and say is Jesus can do it. Huh? That's my faith. Jesus can do it. Huh? Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whether he do it or not, I don't know. But I do know he can do it. Huh? That's a beautiful thing. Them brothers went into that fiery furnace expecting. They don't know what they were going to get. Whether they were going to burn up or not. But they knew that the Lord had the power. Huh? You got to go through your fiery furnace the same way. You don't know what the Lord going to do. Huh? This sickness might kill you. This sickness might take you out. This sickness might incapacitate you. But one thing I know, Jesus can heal you, right? He got the power to heal you. He got the power to deliver you. He got the power to open up doors. Huh? He's got the power to make ways where there seem to be no way. Huh? He do got the power to do that. Now, if he do it, I don't know. They say, I just got to, why don't you know? Because he's God. He can do what he want when he want. Huh? For me to go around telling God what to do would mean I'm in control. Everybody got to be humble before Jesus. Meaning be willing to go through however he say to go through. But at the end of the day, you got to go through, right? That's the truth. You can't question what Jesus do. It ain't in you. It's not for you to question it. Huh? The Lord said it. Just let it be. Lord say do it. Just do whatever he say do. Huh? It ain't make no sense for them to fill up them wine jars with no water. Huh? But his mother said, whatever he tell you to do, you better do it. Huh? Just do whatever he say. He knows what he's doing. Them folk drunk that wine. They said, we never put the best wine in the end. We wait till the folks to get drunk and put the best, put the cheap wine out. Because the cheap wine, they don't know whether they're drinking good stuff or not because they're drunk already. But they said, now this has been the best wedding. Why? Because this has been the best has been saved for the last. Huh? That's something to think about, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That's how Jesus works. We want the Lord, we want the latter years of our lives in Jesus to be blessed. That's true, saints. You want the latter eyes. You got to be happy, fixed in your mind. You got to be tired of scuffling and fighting with the flesh, crawling with it. Let the latter years of your life be blessed. Huh? Learn how to just relax in Jesus. Just learn how to be content with whatever state you in. I mean, I'm being serious. Learn how to be just content in whatever state you in. If you ain't got it, you ain't got it. Huh? You can't afford it, you can't afford it. Huh? Amen. I'm there. Elder Scudder is there. You really don't even realize how there I am in this life. I'm just content having Jesus. I'm just happy having Jesus. If it comes, amen. If it don't, amen. I realize the Lord control it all anyway. If he want me to have it, he going to give it to me, right? And if he take it away, amen. I'm just content in Jesus. Every now and then I tell him, I say, well, Lord, you know I really would desire to do this. Lord, you really know this is something that I really would like to have. And then I just go right on about my merry way. Because I realize if he give it to me, amen, ain't nothing I can do about it no way. I sure can't go out there and make nothing happen. Huh? You go out there and try you want, you're going to waste your time. You can't make nothing happen for you. Going out there and think you're going to make something happen. Huh? You get 1,000 degrees, all you want. Before you know, you'll be walking, sitting and working beside someone ain't got a degree at all. And let you humble you real quick. I mean, humble you real quick. Talking about how much you know, how much you got, and Lord say, well, look at who you worship right beside. And they making the same amount as you did. Huh? That's something to think about, isn't it? That Lord humble you real quick. And then you just come to your understanding, you say, Lord Jesus, whatever you say, amen, right? Yeah, Lord taught me that real quick. Yeah, he taught me that real quick. You be working up under folk. Folk ain't got a lick of nothing. Right. Nothing but just somebody just bestowed a good on them. They don't deserve it. You look at it and say, according to the books, the paper, you don't deserve to be where you are. But they there. And ain't nothing you can do about it. Huh? Ain't nothing you can do about it. But just sit back and say, Jesus, I thank you for what you gave me. Huh? Might not be much, but I thank you for what you gave me. And not just gave me, he keep on giving it. Just keep on just opening up doors, showing you stuff. Showing you stuff and giving it to you. Showing it to you and giving it to you. Only thing he wants you to do is be appreciative. Just learn how to say, thank you, Jesus, for what you gave me. Learn how to just step back and trust him. Huh? Just trust the Lord. Trust him not sometime, but the scripture says, with all of your heart. And stop leaning to your own understanding. Your mind will mess you up. Cause you to miss some good blessings. Yeah. We live long enough to know that. Will your mind be telling you to do X, Y, Z? Cause you to miss some good blessings. And I mean them blessings come in and they just go right on out. You say, well, Lord, Lord said, don't go Lord me. You messed it up. Because you didn't do right by it. And you just sit back and say, Jesus, please have mercy on me. Huh? Teach me how to do how I'm supposed to do. And he said, okay, we're going to try this thing one more time. And then he give it to you again. See what you're going to do with it. You learn, say, Lord, I'm going to do right by it now. You learn real quick. Say, no, the Lord gave me this. You ain't going to gloat around talking about what you got. I ain't got nothing. I don't have nothing. I don't own nothing. The Lord gave me this. And then he'll let you keep it. Why? Because you got the right attitude with it. I can trust you with this now. Why? Because you got the right attitude with it. You realize in Jesus we live, move, and have our being, right? You can't do nothing without the Lord. And don't let life try to teach you that. Just go through, just change your mind. Change your mind and think, say, Lord, I can't do nothing without you. Just condition your thinking that way. Don't let life teach you that. Because life can teach it to you. Life can put a hurting on you, put your back up against the wall, make you realize you can't do nothing without the Lord. Huh? Before you know you ain't got nothing. I mean, Lord, strip everything away from you. You'd be wanting to say, well, they still leave me like this. Lord said, I'm trying to teach you a lesson, and you won't listen to me, therefore I have to do it to you, right? Then you'd be somewhere crying, Lord, I understand, I got it now. I understand real good now, Jesus. Lord said, all right, we'll see. I'm going to give you a crumb and see what you do with that crumb. You go around gloating with that. Look at me, I got a crumb. Lord said, okay, see, you ain't do right about it. So I'm going to snatch that crumb away from you now. Right? That's the truth. That's how it works. And you got to realize who is the one doing all of this to you. And nobody but the Lord is the one that's trying to help you. And the devil don't want you to see Jesus. He don't want you to be serious about Jesus. And he don't want you to do what? See Jesus. Huh? Devil only wants you to pay attention to him. That's why, you know, this lesson, you got to learn how to compare the things that be of men versus the things that be of Jesus. And there's a big difference. There's a big difference about the things that men pay attention to and the things that Jesus says, I want you to pay attention to. Huh? There's a big difference. You're not careful, you'll be caught all up in what men pay attention to, and you'll be going right along with the crowd. And because you're going along with the crowd, you suffer with the crowd, right? Then when you get out there and you realize the crowd ain't got nothing to offer you, then you want to cry wolf. Say, I want you, can I come? No. You got what you wanted. You're getting exactly what you wanted. Ain't that the truth?
Yes.
You getting exactly what you wanted. You sought it, now you got it.
Yes.
Now deal with it, right?
Yes.
That's why I tell you, be careful what you ask for.
Yes.
Be careful about what you go seeking after, right?
Yes.
You better learn how to let this stuff go.
Yes.
If it's not of Jesus, let it go.
Let it go.
Huh?
Yes.
You, why? Because you're wasting your time and your energy.
Yes. Thank you,
you let it go, then the Lord can give you what he has in store for you. Sometimes we don't realize the Lord is trying to prepare us for the blessing.
Right.
We only understand, and it's just like when you have children, and the kids will tell you that flat-footed. We set good goals for them. We give them good sound instruction to try to prepare them for blessing. We tell them, you say you're young, focus on school. Don't focus on the other stuff. Focus on your school. Focus on school. Accomplish that. Why? That way you got a little foundation. You got something to lay at someone's face when you're talking about, well, you hired me. Somebody would say, well, why should I hire you? Well, I was dedicated in accomplishing this goal. I proved that I can focus enough time and accomplish what I set out to do. And they say, okay, well, maybe we'll go ahead and try you. Because you got a disciplined mind. But when you out there just doing what you want to do, ain't nobody want to feel like being bothered with you. Why? Because they can't depend on you. You here today, you gone tomorrow. I got a job that need to get done, right? That's why I told you, flatfoot, I told you day one, let your work speak for you, right? And you'll know it speak for you because they'll be running in behind you. Please don't go. Please stay. You let your work speak for you. Then you can choose. That's the best position to be in. Where you can say, do I really want this? Or do I want that? Do I want to do this? Now that's when you got to use wisdom. That's when the Lord say, now I done matured you enough. You got to be able to make some good decisions for yourself, right? But it's good to be that way, isn't it? That's a good way to be that way. You ain't out there begging and bothering. You just, Lord, say, I'm going to set this stuff before you. Now just choose where you want to go. Lord Jesus, I don't know what to do. You do it, Lord Jesus. Set the path for me, Jesus. I done been in this path before. I done been at this fork of the road before. Trying to do it my way. There is a way that seems right, right? I don't want to do it my way, Jesus. Lord, lead me and guide me. Huh? Ain't that the truth, saints? Lead me and guide me in the way that I should go. And help me to be okay going down the path that I would not have chose. Right?
Yeah,
that's the truth. Help me to be okay going down a path that I would not, because if I chose it, I wouldn't have gone down that way. I would have been like Lot. You go over to the back of your page. Look at the last scripture in Genesis. You be real careful with these choices that you make, saints. Huh? You personalize this thing. Jesus, help me to be real careful with these choices that I make. Right? Why? Lest I be like Lot and make the wrong decision. Right? What did Genesis say?
Said Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan.
Uh-huh.
And it was well watered.
Well watered. Yeah. Well, isn't that something?
Uh-huh.
Keep going.
I said, before the Lord destroyed God.
Oh, Lot couldn't see afar off, right?
Yeah.
Now, if Lot let Jesus lead and guide him, Jesus would have never sent Lot to Sodom.
Yeah.
Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
Jesus would have never sent Lot to Sodom.
Yeah.
Why? Because the Lord knew he was going to destroy Sodom.
Yeah.
That's why I say the Lord know the end from the beginning of a thing.
Yeah.
That's why I say you need to learn how to pray.
Yeah.
I'm being serious. Amen. The last part of that lesson that we had on spiritual dependency talked about the prayer of faith. Yes. You need to learn how to pray before you do anything.
Amen.
And stop after you saying, I'm praying, go run and do something. Right. You need to be still and hear from the Lord.
Right. Amen.
Be still and hear from him.
Yes.
Let the Lord guide you
yes.
in the path that you should go.
Amen.
And you know it's Jesus.
Right.
You know it's the Lord. Because it will be done right.
Yes.
It will be done the right way. And you just say, okay, yes, Lord
yes.
Jesus.
Thank you.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
I see where you want me to go. I see what you want me to do. Amen, Lord Jesus. Huh? That's why I tell folk be coming up to me saying, well, the Lord told me already. Well, who am I to say something against Jesus? Now, you the fool if you didn't pray for it. Why? Because at the end of the day, you got to live with it. Not Elder Scudder. You the one got to live with this. So you better make sure the Lord really spoke to you. I mean, really led and guide you down that path. Why? Because who got to live with it? You got to live with just your own choices and your own decisions. And sure enough, Lot lived with his choice.
Yeah.
And the scripture declared at the end of that thing, that the scripture said Lot made himself sick. Huh?
Yeah.
Now, the Lord ain't going to send you somewhere to make you sick, will he? Huh?
Yes.
Come on, saints, y'all believe that? I don't believe the Lord gonna send me any place to make me sick. He will heal me,
right.
but he won't make
yes.
me sick.
Right.
But if I do it, I know I'm gonna mess myself up.
Yeah.
I sure enough gonna make myself sick. And that's what happened a lot. Scripture said that seeing it and hearing it, he made himself sick. All them filthy conversations of the wicked, day in and day out. Made himself sick, alright?
Yes.
Alright, I'm not going to try your patience any longer. I've been up a little while, but I thank the Lord for your time. Trust you got something out of the
Amen.
Word.
Amen.
He gave you all a lot of scriptures.
Yes.
Now, go through and look at all of those scriptures so that you can understand and see, again, what did it mean to set your affections on things.